Missouri to speak to a roofing expert today. For more information, visit lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
First opened to the public in the 1960s, the rolling terrain and the fast, undulating greens of the Florissant Golf Club have challenged golfers ever since. The great vistas and shot values of the 6,500-plus yard layout have attracted some of the best golfers in the state for more than 50 years. Experience public golf at its finest, located just off Lindbergh and Old Halls Ferry. Seniors play for $27 7 days a week. Call 314-741-7444 for a tee time. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your round of golf. Tell them Doug Vaughn sent you.
Big savings on the Viagra alternative, Sildenafil. The same active ingredient in that blue pill is now available in generic form. Sildenafil offers the same raging results with big savings. One 100-milligram Viagra tablet costs approximately $40 to $60, whereas five 20-milligram Sildenafil tablets cost only $8. That's an 80% savings on your ED medication. Sildenafil is available at Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy in St. Louis. Call today at 314-432-5020 or visit them online at goldsmithmedicenterpharmacy.com. Free mail-out option is available.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Sick Ween Wednesday. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn with you. The cat had to bolt like the wind for today's Cardinal game. But Doug, not only do we have Cardinal baseball in St. Louis today.
Here comes Vinny again.
Just telling people what's going on. Right. We also have Blues hockey. 8:45 start. And Cam Jansen will be on KMOX. We'll never be on KMOX.
No, we're at war with that outfit.
Right. And I wonder if Cam's a traitor. By being on KMOX.
What's he doing on KMOX? Is he doing the color of the game tonight?
No, he's on pre and post game.
Well, I'll be darned.
He's also appearing at the rally before the game tonight, and Sea Monster has noted he is worried he will sweat through his clothes.
Well, bring a second outfit.
I'll tell Cam right now, why don't you? Cam Jansen on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Morning, Cam.
Hey, dudes. Yeah, I am worried about it. It's an 8:45 start? Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's the worst, isn't it?
Oh, that's a long one for me, man.
Cam Jansen, host of The Hardline, and as well as doing pre and post on KMOX tonight. His report here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After is brought to you by Mantality. Check out lowtusa.com to find a location near you and set up a visit with their board-certified physicians. Cam, I'm sorry I cut you off, brother.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. Go check out that Mantality, absolutely. But no, this is going to be a long night, absolutely. But I'm worried about sweating through my clothes. That's a problem that I have. Like, I'm going to be on stage. The sun's going to be beating down on me. Everybody's going to be around. By the end of the game, I'm going to be disgusting. And you have to associate with people all night long. So there's my problem. Yeah, I know. What do I do?
Doug, give him a pro tip.
Why don't you bring a second undershirt and maybe a second white shirt if you're going to wear a suit or sport coat or something. Just do that. Okay. A second undershirt and white shirt, and then you'll be fine. Oh.
Yeah, okay. Should I put it in my pocket when I walk in the game?
What, do you have a briefcase
nice,
or something?
Nice, Cam. Chirp him. Oh, chirp him.
What do you want me to bring a briefcase in?
Well, if you really want to battle this problem, I don't think there's going to be enough deodorant to keep you dry. So I would suggest a t-shirt and another shirt.
Well, what if I just found a shower somewhere, like down the locker rooms?
I don't think the Blues would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Good. I might have to try that out, man. Okay. But hey, don't get me wrong. I am excited about tonight.
What do you think? Up? What do you think on this? Because I was saying, and I could be wrong on this, and I don't know. You know, I'm sure, like I said when I brought it up in the 7 o'clock hour, I would imagine there's data on it. But God forbid I do the actual legwork to find it. But I would imagine that it's around 70% or more of teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. When they are up 3-0 and playing at home, that they win. Straight winning percentage. I'm not talking about spreads or anything like that. I just feel like, Cam, and I could be wrong, so I'm curious what your thoughts are, that when you're up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs and you have game four at home, you are going to win well more often than you are not. Now, that doesn't, of course, mean all the time, but 70% is a healthy percentage. Last night, Pittsburgh had a chance to close out the Blue Jackets, but it was on the road. So I'm talking about the scenario the Blues are in. What are your...
Are you talking about specifically this game itself or the series?
I'm talking about Stanley Cup playoffs in general in history when a team is up 3-0 in a best of seven and they have game four at home more than 70% of the time, they win that game, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that probably sounds about right. But here's where I come at. Whoever scores the first goal is probably going to win the game.
That's what Pat Micheletti said. He was just with us in the 8 o'clock. I see the exact same thing.
Well, it's true, because you got to think, like, if we score first, say Vladdy, we go out there and we have three good shifts in a row, we're hitting their D, we're in their face, we're letting them know that, hey, we mean business, and all of a sudden 91 comes down and shoots one top shelf, that is absolutely demoralizing for that team. Absolutely. Their heads are going to go down, and then we come back with a couple hard shifts after that. Jake Allen might make a couple good saves, get them even more frustrated. Then they're going to pack it in, and we're going to be all over. We're going to win the game 4-0. Or we come out sluggish, a little slow, a little hesitant, and they get a couple shots on goal and maybe sneak one by. Then it's a whole different story. Then it might be a whole different series. If they come out and win this game and get a little boost from this, and they go back to Minnesota, this is going to be a very, very difficult game in Minnesota. And remember what, even if we do win, just remember what happened last year, though. We got Chicago back in the series.
Yep.
Then Dallas back in the series. Two game sevens. They were absolutely worn out. Our defense right now are really playing a ton, and they're just going through so much energy because of the style and because of all the shots. And you have to retrieve all these rebounds to get the puck out of the zone. The D right now are working really hard. We need to win this damn game and put the knife right through them and say, see you later. So the first goal is absolutely huge in this game tonight.
Now, we've whined already about the 8:45 start, but I would think it would bother some people. I would think the players are ready to run through a brick wall about 6:30 and to say, cool your jets for another 2 hours. That might be hard. Is that a factor at all, playing so late?
Oh. Yeah, but it's a factor for both teams, just like bad ice. You get bad ice, it's like, oh, you could bitch about it, but both teams have to deal with it. Now, if it's one zone, you know, if it's where the Wild are shooting twice and the bad ice in just one end, yeah, maybe you can complain, maybe it's one-sided. But, yeah, they're both teams are tired. They're both playing at the same time. You know, it's just, it is very difficult, though. Don't get me wrong. Those are really long days. You got to think, you're pregame skating at 10:30. You go back and you're used to taking maybe an hour and a half, two-hour nap. But now you've got that extra 2 hours, and you're sitting there, and you're watching TV, and you're like, okay, what do I do? Okay, let's get to the rink. But if you go to the rink and you're playing for the Wild, you know, it's not very luxurious by any means going to one of those visiting locker rooms if you get there 3.5 hours before the game. Yeah. There's not much to do. It's just a long, drawn-out day for both teams, one way or the other. At least the Blues are at home, and they can kind of relax and still, you let their time go by in different ways. When you're sitting in a hotel, you're just flipping through the channels, looking at the clock like, okay, I'm ready to go. Pain in the ass sometimes, man. It is.
Cam Jansen's our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and you can hear him tonight on the Blues Radio Network on Cam Wax pre- and post-game. And, of course, you can hear him on the Hardline from 3 to 6 here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. And he is brought to you by LowTUSA.com. That's mentality. Doug, you could use some mentality.
Well, yes, he can.
Okay, knock it off the deuces.
Check out LowTUSA.com to find a location near you and set up a visit with their board-certified physicians. Cam, I have a two-part question. I want Doug to know this because I want him to stay out of the way because I feel like he's going to ruin the whole thing.
All right.
Yeah.
It's two-parter. I'm going to ask the first one, then I'm going to have a follow-up, and my follow-up is going to be based on what you answer in the first question. Does everybody understand the ground rules?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In your assessment of these three games, who has outplayed the other team?
Minnesota has.
Wow, wow, wow. So, I had a feeling you may say that, or you'd say it's really been tight. I feel like the Blues in the first period of Game 3 was really the most dominating they've looked. I also was worried that the fact that they only got one goal may be an opening for the Wild, and that they would go, we just withstood that huge rush and only allowed one goal. We're in this thing. And they did come out and play much better in the second period. The Wild did. But with that all said, if you are the Minnesota Wild going into this situation tonight, psychologically, and maybe we're overrating the psychoanalysis of this whole thing, but psychologically, do you feel better about the fact that you have outplayed the Blues, or at the very least been right there with them, have not like kind of gotten blue jacketed, so to speak, here, like what the Penguins have done in three of the four games to Columbus? Or is it more frustrating for them because they have either outplayed them or been there right with them, and nonetheless they are still on the verge of elimination tonight and getting swept?
I think it's frustrating one way or the other, but I think they feel better about themselves knowing that they have outplayed the Blues in a longer stretch of time than the Blues have with them. I think it goes both ways there, man. I do. I think they get pissed, and they're pissed during the game, and it's frustrating when Jake Allen, again, when you're going against a team and their goalie is unbelievable, you just have this, like, this feeling that you're just like, what else do we do? Then you look at your coach like, is there another system that we can implement here? This isn't working. It's a very frustrating thing. But after the game and moving forward, after you get through that game and you're looking at the next game and you walk in the locker room, you're in the locker room with all the guys, you're like, guys, we could beat these guys. Look what we've done. Look at all the shots. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. Then you get jacked up for that particular game. But during the game, when you can't score up a Jake Allen and you're funneling pucks all the way to him and he's just making these unbelievable saves and the deer frustrating you, it drives you crazy. So it can really work in both ways. I think they're going to come into this game unbelievably jacked up, knowing that they can beat the Blues because they have outplayed them for more periods than the Blues have with them, I'd say. I mean, there's a couple periods where it was pretty even back and forth, but the dominant periods by Minnesota were way more dominant besides the first period of the third game than the Blues have with them. You get my point?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I follow that.
Would you expect Minnesota to try to do anything different at all with maybe try to get Reeves wound up and take some penalties or try to get more physical and just to change the flow?
Oh, yeah, get Reeves wound up. Who's going to do that?
Well, I don't know if they've got that guy.
Disco's too?
Yeah, well, Stewart would be that guy. But what do you I think Reeves is at the point now. He's playing fantastic, by the way. Yeah, I think the one game where he got scored on, he's been playing well. That whole line is playing well. Reaver is finding a way to get a big hit every single game. Somehow. Not go out of his way, not take too many penalties, none of this, none of that. Don't get mixed up in the scuffles in front of the net, because usually Reaver would get the penalty because he's a big boy out there. He's a tough guy, and all eyes are on him when there's a scuffle. Always. But he's finding a way to really lay somebody out once a game, set the tone. He's doing a damn good job. But to your question, is there going to be somebody on that team that's going to try to get under his skin? I don't think so. I think he's too smart for that. I think he's going to be like, get out of my face. I know you're not going to fight me. Now, if Stewart wants to go and square off with Reaver to set the tone, to get the boys jacked up, perhaps he could do that. Does he want to do that? Absolutely not. Absolutely, especially because Stewart is a lefty, and if he wants to trade left to right with Reaver, he's going to get caught, and he's probably going to break his orbital bone.
Hmm. He's going to get punched in the eyeball.
Yeah, an orbital bone, yeah.
Did you ever break that?
No, but I thought I did. But you see that kid from Columbus?
Yeah, I did.
How tough is that? And look, I don't want to rip on any Carpenter, and it's just such a – and I explained this yesterday on the hard line. It's funny, he kind of hurt his finger, and like, baseball is completely different because you can't throw the ball, you can't catch the ball, you can't swing the bat.
Right.
You are completely irrelevant, and you're hurting your team one way or the other. But you see that, and everybody goes, and they all stare at his finger out there. Matheny walks out, they're staring at his finger, like, do-do-do-do-do. And you switch the channel, and you see this kid take a slap shot to the face, get buckled, go into the locker room, get stitched up. His face is literally sagging off of his skull.
Ah.
It's sagging. It's sagging. Yet he puts a stupid, half guard shield, bubble shield on that will protect basically nothing if you get hit hard. And he goes back out there and tries to play the rest of the game. But then they're like, okay, no, your face is completely mangled. You're going to have to get reconstructive surgery, and you're probably concussed. But boy, oh boy, do you have some balls to come out there and try to finish that game. I'm sorry, I had to notice that, and I had to bring that up, but that just shows how tough these hockey players are. So, in other words, Chris Stewart, you don't want to get your orbital bone broken. So if I were you, I probably wouldn't trade with Ryan Reaves.
Yeah, I would think if they're bringing somebody out who's got half of his face is dangling down, it doesn't say much about the guy who would otherwise be playing. At some point, you got to have a backup who's better than somebody who's hurt.
Well, he's a defenseman. I mean, the guys are going to play one way there. You can't just implement another D man. You're down to 5D, so yeah, somebody will have to step up and take his minutes away, but he's the best defenseman on that damn team. He's been playing great, and he needs to go back out there and play one way or the other. It's not affecting his legs. It's not affecting his hands or his arms. He just can't see out of his right eye, and he's probably concussed. So that's kind of a big deal, but this shows, man. This shows. That's a tough kid. What a tough kid.
You think they'll ever get to the point where they're all wearing a total face mask?
Man, probably, Doug, man. Probably. You know, I know everybody's going to, they're all grandfathered in with the half shield, and I get that. You got to protect your eye. But I tell you this, when I used to wear a cage, I have more scars on my chin and just nicked up because of my cage, getting hit with my cage cutting me and hurting me more than anything, more than any puck to the face or a stick to the face. My cage cut me open more than anything. But again, the half shield, I understand. You get used to wearing it. If you don't like it, you can flip it up anyway. But if you have to wear it in the minors like I did, you might as well put that damn thing down and protect yourself, especially when you're going to get into a fight and you can't take your helmet off anymore. If a guy's going to punch you, you're going to have to punch through my face mask.